Right now, though, as promised, we start hour number three by having a conversation with a college football reporter for Fox Sports. He is a national college football insider for The Athletic, co-host of the Audible podcast, and a New York Times best-selling author. As always, he is everywhere, and he's back here in the jungle. Bruce Feldman is my guest. Bruce, great to have you back. How are you?
Doing great, Jim. Good to be on with you.
It's good to have you, Bruce. Thanks so much. All right, so let me start first with Georgia Tech. They fired their head coach, Jeff Collins, Monday. Bruce, he had done a nice job at Temple, but he could never really seem to get things going at Tech. Why did things not work out for him there?
I think there's a bunch of factors. I mean, look, he had a good reputation as a recruiter. His best recruit that he was able to land there, Jamar Gibbs, ended up transferring last year to Alabama. So when you're losing your best player because of the portal and they can leave whenever, that makes it a little harder. Also, I just think the question is, how committed is Georgia Tech to playing college football at a high level? It's not, in addition, they also fired the AD at the same time. So now this school not only has a head coaching search, but the first thing they probably got to do is hire the athletic director and really sell whoever takes this job, yes, we're serious about playing high-level college football, because you're obviously in an area where there's tons of talent around Atlanta, and there is good history there, and there's a lot of things you can sell there. But if they're not really committed to getting everything on the same page the way some of the programs around them are, it's going to be such an uphill battle.
Bruce Feldman joining us. All right, so a couple of key points there, Bruce. So if there's a question about how committed they are and they do not have an AD, how intriguing then is that job right now for elite-level coaches?
I think, this is not going to be a year like last year where you had LSU and USC and a bunch of big jobs come open. We might have Auburn come open. You already have Nebraska open. I would suspect you will have Colorado come open before too long. But really, Auburn is the one school that is a big job with a lot of resources. I mean, I don't think Nebraska is, Colorado's not, and right now Georgia Tech doesn't feel like that. So I think you will definitely have some assistant coaches who have recruited this area think it has a lot of potential if you can get it going. You'll have some group of five head coaches, I think, that will be very tempted. And then we'll see what else they can get. I mean, the Auburn job, and again, Auburn's going to be a place that also is going to have to hire an AD. That is a bigger job. And so, to me, in the story I did yesterday, I think a big candidate target for Georgia Tech will be Deion Sanders. Obviously, he was a star player for both the Falcons and the Braves, and he's doing a really nice job at Jackson State as the head coach there. But will he be more tempted if and when Auburn comes open by that job? I suspect he will.
Talking to Bruce Feldman, I mean, let's just step back for 1 minute, Bruce. Like, Deion is an all-time great. I mean, a unicorn, an absolute icon. That said, we're talking, literally, you and I are talking about Deion possibly having a shot at the Auburn head coaching job, which is incredible to me. Like, if we were to take a step back, what was your reaction when Jackson State first hired Deion? Were you at all skeptical?
I was a little, because you're talking about a guy who had never been a college head coach. He'd been a high school head coach. But you hear a lot of times, like, to me, this is, college football is different than the NBA, where you have some great former players who jump in and they can have a lot of success, where it's just, the rosters are so big. There's a lot of different things that go on with college football, especially in terms of what kind of resources you're working with and everything like that. But he has really done exceedingly well. And he's obviously been a tremendous recruiter. The fact that he flipped the number one player in the country last year from his alma mater, no less, Florida State, to go to Jackson State, in a place that does not have the same resources as a lot of other places in major college football does. And he's winning a lot of games, right? And so I think it's a big credit to him. But for the people I know who've worked around him, both in the NFL, but even the guys I know who worked with him at NFL Network, really spoke highly of how he works, how he approaches things, what he's like to work with. And so I think they were like, this guy's going to do great. And so far he really has. And if Mike Norvell hadn't got it going, and he has now at Florida State, I think there was going to be a lot of pressure on that school, if they were making a coaching change, to really look closely at Deion, given what he's done. And now I don't think Florida State's going to be in the market for a head coach, but I think Auburn will. And this is a guy who I don't think anybody wants to recruit against because of his personality, because of the way he's able to connect with players. And also, you know, even though he's at a FCS program, he's got a lot of visibility now in terms of he's on commercials all over the place with Nick Saban. And I just think he is, like, for the coaches who dread facing, like, the triple option offense because it's hard to prepare for, you know, I'd argue this is going to be an even bigger headache for them if you got to go follow Deion Sanders in a home visit.
Talking to Bruce Feldman, I mean, fascinating stuff. So, Bruce, ultimately, what do you think, or how do you think that plays out? Do you think that Georgia Tech, because of his background in the area, would that appeal to him enough that if he were offered that job, if in fact they were committed and they got their AD, is that the one that he would take, or would he wait for Auburn or something even bigger than that? Like, what's his mindset, do you think?
I think he's got to really look and see, okay, how committed is Georgia Tech to really get it going here? Auburn has a lot of money. They're obviously in a bigger football conference. It's a tough conference. I mean, you got Nick Saban in your state. I don't think Deion, you know, this is a guy who's never backed down from any challenges. So I think, you know, again, we'll see how Auburn right now, they still have Brian Harsin as their head coach. But if it is how we expect it to go, that they're going to make a coaching change, do the money people there rally behind Deion? I think that job will be a very interesting coaching search if and when it comes open, because I think they will look hard at Lane Kiffin, who's obviously doing a nice job in that division. I think they will consider Hugh Freeze, who had coached it at Ole Miss and has a lot of ties to the area and is a really good offensive coach as well. You have three guys who all have big personalities and, you know, they're polarizing to some degree or another. And I think that they're probably all going to feel like they're better fits for what Auburn is trying to do than what they have right now with Brian Harsin, who did a nice job at Boise State, but really a lot of the money people never wanted him in the first place.
We're talking to Bruce Feldman, covering a lot of ground. So, Bruce, go back to Nebraska. You brought that up. What is the latest, as far as you can tell, on the Nebraska front, and how do you think that AD Trev Alberts is approaching this hire?
Right now, from what I had heard, there was a couple of candidates I think that he was most interested in. Bill O'Brien, the Alabama offense coordinator, you know well from his time both at Penn State and the NFL. I mean, when he was at Georgia Tech, he and Trev Alberts got to know each other. Trev Alberts, I understand, really thinks highly of him, and the job he did at Penn State taking over a really tough situation in the wake of the Sandusky scandal there. And I think he's somebody that they know that program needs a big overhaul. I think he's somebody that they're going to give strong consideration to. I think Matt Campbell is at Iowa State, you know, great developer of talent, really created a good culture at a place that no one's ever won at Iowa State like this. And then the third guy is Lance Leipold, former Nebraska assistant, won six national titles at D3 level, did a really good job in the MAC, and now is kind of working miracles at Kansas. And Kansas is 4-0. They were horrible for so long. I think he's a guy that's going to be, you know, if it came down to it, I don't know if Matt Campbell would leave Iowa State for Nebraska. I think it'd be hard for Lance Leipold to turn down Nebraska from Kansas. I think he is a guy that, if I had to guess, that would be probably the leader in the clubhouse at this point, the way I think this thing's going to shape out. But there's still a lot of time before they make that decision.
I'm sure, Bruce, you had the same reaction I did. I had him on the show a few days back, and I agree with you. He's doing a miraculous job at Kansas, an amazing job at Kansas. And I asked him about that, and understandably, he didn't have a lot to say about that. But, yeah, I think that I love to see what's going on in Kansas. He's done a great job, but if I'm Nebraska, I would try really hard to get him out of there. What about, and not to put you in a weird spot, Bruce, but what about your colleague at Fox, Urban Meyer? Nebraska fans made it pretty clear when he showed up who they'd like to have as their head coach. Any sense of where his head is at and whether or not there might be interest from Trev Alberts in Urban Meyer?
My hunch is no, that I don't think that would be a fit for a couple of, maybe on both sides. I don't know if he badly wants to get back into coaching or not. I mean, obviously, it did not go well the last year when he was in the NFL. Is that a case where, because when he was with us at Fox a couple of years ago, he could have been the head coach at Texas. He did not want to go back to being a college coach. I just think that the way things were going with the sport. I just don't think he wanted any part of that. He ended up jumping in the NFL as a different challenge. It did not go well. I don't know if in the back of his head, as a competitor, he would question and say, is that the last coach? Is that the way I want to end my coaching career on something that was went so poorly? I don't know if he thinks that way or not. I don't know if he sits back and if Auburn reached out to him when their job is open. I don't know if at this stage when he's close to 60, if he would say, yeah, that's the kind of place I want to jump into. You know, I think that would surprise me, to be honest, but you know, he's a tough guy to read. You know, I work with him. I just never know.
Talking to Bruce Feldman for a few more moments. Bruce, really quickly, you spent a lot of time covering a lot of prominent programs, but you know the Canes and Miami as well as anybody. I had Rick Stockstill on earlier today, and needless to say, he was still kind of buzzing. He had turned the page and was getting ready for Friday night's game against UTSA, but that was such an enormous win for them to go into Coral Gables and do to the Canes what they did. Where does that leave Miami in this so-called renaissance with Mario Cristobal and the return of the Canes? Because needless to say, that was not a good thing for them or a positive development in any sense.
No, it was an embarrassing showing. And I think, you know, having been down there in August and seeing them practice, you come away looking, going, this is not a team that had a lot of firepower on offense. You know, their receiving core is really underwhelming, and that was without their kind of go-to receiver who's out for a long time now. The running backs are decent, but not great. This is not a very talented Miami team, right? I think the quarterback, Tyler Van Dyke, who had a good year last year, it just seems like he is struggling to carry probably, he had better receivers last year than he does this year. And I think the reality is Mario Cristobal will recruit really, really well there, but they are a pretty good team in a really bad division. They're on the weaker side of the ACC. And when you look at that, I think Pitt's pretty good. But beyond that, you see some really bad teams. And so my guess is maybe they can get to 8 wins, but I don't know if it's going to happen, because that was before they got whipped by Middle Tennessee at home. You know, so I think this is, to Cristobal's credit, whenever I've talked to him, he's like, I don't want to hear about the U is back. All he keeps saying is the U is back to work. And Miami football did not fall apart overnight, and it's not going to get rebuilt overnight. I think they will get better after this recruiting class, but they got a lot of work to do for them to be a legit, like, top 15 team. They just, I thought they would be a little better than they are on offense. I definitely didn't think they would lose to Middle Tennessee, but this isn't USC right now, where you got a bunch of transfers at key places and a bunch of, really good skill guys and maybe a very average defense. This is a team that doesn't have that kind of firepower, and they're going to have to grind. And I think Miami fans are going to have to realize this is just because we got a head coach talking big and recruits are buying in. Those recruits are not on the field right now.
Bruce Feldman, my guest. Bruce, to that point, I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to ask you that before I let you go, because you're in Southern California and you've covered USC extensively. To that point, Lincoln Riley is 4-0. He starts his tenure off, and they had that comeback win over Oregon State. They've got Arizona State this week. We know with Caleb Williams, they're going to put points on the board, but you mentioned the defense. So before I let you go, what do you make of that defense? Is it good enough for them to be considered a legitimate contender for the college football playoff, or maybe not so much so?
I don't think it's good enough to be considered a legit contender for the playoff. I think they can win 10 games and have a shot to be in the conversation, but I don't think the Pac-12 is good enough right now across the board. Like, look, Washington clearly is much improved, but I think when you look at this team, they're very explosive on offense, and that's a game last week that they would normally have lost. They found a way to win. I give credit to Alex Grinch. His defense is forcing a lot of turnovers. And just with turnovers, it's become like a belief, and you can get hot almost, and like it's just the ball starts to find guys. But you look at Stanford move the ball almost at will on them, and I think ultimately that will come back to bite them. I just don't think they have a lot of margin for error on defense. And when you're living by getting a lot of turnovers, sometimes you're forcing turnovers, and sometimes the ball is just bouncing off guys, and your guys are being opportunistic. My hunch on them is they're much improved. I don't think they're good enough on defense to really be considered a legit playoff team. I think they're a notch below that, at least at this point. I mean, just haven't seen enough from them to feel like they're that much different.
Covering so much ground, he is a college football reporter for Fox Sports, a national college football insider for The Athletic, co-host of the Audible podcast, also, of course, a New York Times bestselling author, Bruce Feldman, my guest. Bruce, really appreciate it. Great conversation, as always. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Thanks for having me.
You too. Bruce, well done, as always.